listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
What's up, Internet? This is not Matt Pollard. This is Rachel Krieger. I know. Hold your shock. Hold your gasp. But today, we're doing things a little bit differently. Before we get into the differences, welcome to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, part of Last Word on Sports, which is also part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are brought to you by our wonderful sponsors, Icarus FC and Roughneck Scarves. So thank you for joining us. Matt and Dan just did a show. At the time of recording, it is Wednesday afternoon. So they did a show probably less than like, Rachel doesn't know how to do math. 20 hours ago, probably, about the expansion draft with Charlotte, the MLS Cup. So if you want to take a listen to that, check that out. Those guys did a great job. It was their show because Harvey and I were not able to be there, but I'm here today and I'm not here by myself. We have a new voice coming onto the show because this show is strictly NWSL related because of all of the exciting things that are happening this week and this weekend. So allow me to introduce to you my friend who is in California, where both of us are experiencing very warm temperatures, which makes it hard to get into the Christmas season. Trevor Tracy, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Rachel. How you doing? Good afternoon. Hey, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. We are so happy to have you. Trevor has been, you've been with us since 18 or 19?
19, the start of 19.
The start of 19, awesome. So Trevor's been with us since the start of the 2019 MLS season. He covers Los Angeles FC and just writes generally about the league and like U.S. men's national team, Mexican national team as well, El Tri. And now he is... I don't want to say it wrong. So what other outlet do you write for? And because that's where you do the Angel City stuff.
So I do, I cover Angel City and LAFC for Angels on Parade. And I cover the Galaxy now, as well as San Diego Wave for LAGconfidential.com.
Oh, nice.
And both of those are under the SB Nation umbrella.
Yes, I was going to say SBI, so I'm glad you said SB Nation. I always get the two mixed up. My friend Tyler Snipes writes for SBI, so I always, and I tell him that all the time. I'm like, I always get you guys mixed up, and he's like, don't let it happen again. But like, you know, that's Tyler and I have known each other for years, so it's a joke. I feel like you have to put a disclaimer on that nowadays, who knows. But we're going to get right into it. There has been so much that has happened with the NWSL in regard to trades and, you know, signings and people going overseas and whatnot. I'm currently in progress with working on a transfer tracker for Last Word on Soccer. It's kind of being held up by the whole site layout thing, just kind of working around that. But stay tuned for that, folks. But so we're not going to go over every single trade because that would literally take maybe 2 hours.
There's been a lot of movement just this week alone.
Yeah, this week would probably take a full hour. but Trevor and I both picked a big trade, and that big trade is part of maybe even another trade. And we're just going to kind of talk about that for a minute. So Trevor, drum roll, what is your big trade from this past NWSL offseason?
So for me, obviously here in LA, I've got to keep it local, but it's not who many people probably think in that with Kristen Press signing for Angel City. I think that's the obvious. For me, though, it's got to be Sarah Gordon, the defender who came over from the Chicago Red Stars, in a move that also included Julie Ertz, as well as some international slots. But really, Sarah Gordon moving to Angel City was huge for me. Coming off of signing Press, who's an attacker, obviously scoring goals, you want to focus on the defense. You want to get in a player that you can really build a solid defensive foundation around. And you couldn't have picked a better player than Sarah Gordon. Played every single minute of the 2021 season for the Red Stars. Not only that, was a Defender of the Year nominee, on top of being on a lot of people's short list for MVP on the season. So I think Angel City really knocked it out of the park with that one. That to me was, when I saw the news for that one, I got really excited. And I know a lot of fans in the area are excited. And I know she's someone that's going to bring a lot of people to at least watch Angel City. I think even those that were hating on Angel City and wanted to ignore them were raising their eyebrows at this move.
Yeah, I give Sarah Gordon a lot of kudos for a couple things. Number one, she is a young family. Her son's probably around the 5, 6, 7 year old ballpark range now. I know that's a wide range, but she's got a young family and she's moving that young family to California. I give her a lot of credit for moving to California after spending pretty much her life in the Chicago area. So to get out of your comfort zone and to go to this new expansion team, and expansion teams, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, they're not going to be perfect overnight. But when you see what Angel City is doing with these moves, and now they're getting Simone Charlie, like, these are just such good players that are going to this group. And like, I mean, Katie Cousins has never played in the NWSL, and she is already being touted as a good solid player for that midfield. But like, I mean, it seems like Angel City has that foundation, and that started with those players like Press and with Gordon, because like you said, the trade does include Julie Ertz, but we haven't seen Julie Ertz in quite some time. So I think she was, Sarah Gordon was kind of in that mix to get Defender of the Year. Ultimately, it went to Gotham's Caprice Didasco, which was also very well-deserved.
Well-deserved, yes. She had a great.
But yeah, Sarah Gordon, I can't think of a better defender who has been consistent, like, not to knock on Didasco, she's had her injuries, you can't really say much about the last couple, but like, Sarah Gordon, you don't just look back at 2021, you look back at 2021, 2022, 2019, 2018, so on and so forth, to the versatility of having to change so many positions, to just helping Chicago get to the playoffs pretty much all the time, and so on and so forth. And I mean, what a player to build your defense around, like you said.
Right. And I think it speaks to Angel City having a vision for what they want out of a club, because when you look at all of their signings, they really are in a lot of ways the same type of player in terms of attitude. They're players that have either been to the top, have either performed well for the national team, have either performed well for their club at NWSL. And they're all players that are motivated to be the best at what they do and at their position. And Sarah Gordon really encompasses that on the defensive side. And as you said, this is a player that you're not going to have to worry about for the next few years in terms of someone that you can count on consistently. They're, you know, she's always going to be there for you, barring injury, of course. She's always going to be there. She's going to play however minutes you need her to play, and she's going to bring a high work rate and a high quality defensive effort. And I think it's just a really good start to what Angel City are trying to build.
Yeah, which is funny, because I, you know, I saw San Diego making all these defensive pickups, and I was like, so when's Angel City going to get on that? And then they were like, yeah, we're just going to bring in, you know, Sarah Gordon, one of the best defenders in the league. And I was like, huh. They certainly got on that.
Right, exactly. It's it's not the quantity, it's the quality. So they definitely are picking their moves precisely, I would say.
After being touted as just seeming like a brand, Angel City is certainly coming out on fire. But all my trade is the other team in the California region. Plot twist, my California geography is not that great. I thought San Diego was below Los Angeles. Like, I thought it was like closer to the Mexican border. And I think I was wrong. Was I wrong?
No, San Diego's south of us. Well, it might be like southeast kind of, but it's definitely closer to the Mexican border than Los Angeles is.
Oh, well, maybe I'm thinking of Sacramento.
Sacramento's way, it's the opposite end of California.
Sacramento's up north. I don't know who I was thinking about, but I just remember looking at a map and thinking, oh, that's not where I thought that was supposed to be. Maybe I was thinking of like Los Angeles or something. Who knows? Either way, my eastern side of the state geography, my eastern side of the country is much better than my western side. But San Diego is the other expansion team, and they had it wasn't necessarily a three-way trade, but the way the moving parts worked, it kind of made it seem like a three-way trade. Kalen Sheridan, without question, I would assume, is going to be the starter in San Diego. She was traded from Gotham to San Diego, which then prompted Gotham to pick up Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris. Mm-hmm. My focus here on it being a big trade is Sheridan, because she's young. She is an excellent goalkeeper. I know there's been a lot of conversation back and forth to who should be the starter for Canada. Should it be Steph LeBay or should it be Kalen Sheridan? I think both have made very good cases over the last couple of years. Canada's still choosing primarily to ride with LeBay for good reason. She is very good. She's tearing it up in Europe. So on and so forth. But for me, I thought of it this way. You know, Gotham, Carly Lloyd retired. Carly Lloyd retired. She's out of the picture. She was aging. You know, she was ready to go, et cetera, et cetera. And so I thought, wow, like Gotham is going to get younger. And now they bring in Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger, who are in their mid to late 30s. And I thought, what is Gotham doing here? And then we heard Kalen Sheridan had kind of asked the club, which was shocking to me, for a trade and to move. Maybe she had heard beforehand about Ashlyn Harris coming to Gotham, because, you know, Sheridan's great. Ashlyn Harris is great. They're both starters in the league. I would assume Harris is going to start for Gotham, considering all their former goalkeepers are now gone. I digress. But anyway, Gotham is getting older and San Diego is getting younger. And I think San Diego is going to see the fruits more than Gotham is. I just blanked on the team name. What did you think about this, about Kalen Sheridan going west?
I thought it was a solid move. Obviously, as you said, San Diego came out focusing on defense. And when they moved over to the goalkeeping spot, it wasn't a surprise. And getting someone like Kalen Sheridan is a really solid move. She comes from Gotham, having had a great season on a team that had a lot of eyes on them this season. So she's used to playing in kind of the spotlight, so to speak. So I think you're right, though. I think San Diego really did well this offseason so far in building a young core. I know they just brought in Alex Morgan, and that's kind of like their veteran presence, but as a whole, they've really aimed to go young, and the Sheridan move really sets them up defensively. I mean, if you're the fun dynamic this offseason has been watching Angel City and San Diego build across from each other, essentially both teams in the same area, expansion teams kind of countering one another's moves, and so to see San Diego come out the gates, focus on defense, and bring in someone like Sheridan, it lets you know that they very much understand part of succeeding in the NWSL next season is going to be trying to stop what Angel City are doing. And based off their moves, you definitely want to make sure you have a solid defense and a goalkeeper that can keep goals out of the net, keep shots out, even if the defense breaks down for a moment. And Kalen Sheridan can do that.
Yeah, she's so good. If you were to ask me who the best goalkeeper in the league is, I think I would probably put a tie on her and Aubrey Bledsoe with, God, there's so many good goalkeepers in the league, Trevor.
Murphy.
Yeah, it's true. Casey Murphy's my very, 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 very strong second. And honestly, like, that's my U.S. Women's National Team starter, which is a conversation for another day. But then, oh my gosh, you've got Bella Bixby in Portland. Jane Campbell in Houston is a very good veteran option, always holds it down as a PK superstar. There are just so many gosh darn good goalkeepers in the league. Cassie Miller was really good for Chicago toward the end there. I guess that's the exciting thing, not to get on too much of a tangent here, but the exciting thing about expansion clubs is You know, I remember when there was only like 8 teams in the league and you got 8 starting goalkeepers when on like benches and stuff, there's really like 13, 14 starting goalkeepers. So now you've got, we're up to 12 teams now in the league, and it's exciting to see more variety, more different goalkeepers kind of getting into the fold and whatnot. I'm excited. I'm a goalkeeper person, so that is, you know, right up my alley for me. Let's see. We now are going to discuss the expansion draft. There has been a lot of stuff going on to the expansion draft, so I'm going to just read the rules real quick, and then Trevor and I are going to name 3 players that we think, no matter what happens, we don't know where they're going to go, but they are definitely going to get picked. And to kind of tease it a little bit here for a moment, we picked together between our 3 picks, 3 Houston Dash players. And the rules say only 2 players from each team can get picked. So here are the rules. The rules are as follows. Angel City and San Diego Wave may select 1 player from each NWSL team and no more than 1 U.S. player in total from all teams. So for example, say they, San Diego selected Jane Campbell. They can't pick another national team player on any other of the teams that they choose from. This rule here has kind of been twisted because of the trades and, you know, trades for immunity and whatnot. Teams may protect 9 players, including only 1 U.S. allocated player. Protected player lists were submitted to the league and released last Friday. Originally, there were supposed to be 9 picks, but some teams have traded for immunity and whatnot. Kansas City has been exempt from the expansion draft per a league rule. Discovery players may not be drafted, and teams must disclose if any player, U.S. allocated player, will not be available to play due to injury, retirement, loan, or any other reason. And today, I think one of the reporters out in Seattle for the OL Reign press conference, which we'll get to later, said or had reported that Laura Harvey had said, like, I am encouraging my players for the sake of their mental health. If they don't want to be picked up or do not want to play in Los Angeles or in San Diego, to contact those teams and tell them, like, hey, I don't want to go. So I'm not going to list the protected list. I'm not going to list all the players that are up for selection because that would take forever. We will have a link in the show notes. So Trevor, we will start with you again. Who are your top 3 players that you think are going to go in the expansion draft?
Okay, so you want me to list all 3. Well, the first one that we both had is Megan Oyster, I think the defender from the Dash. I also have Jordan DiBiase, who I believe is currently with the Spirit.
Yes, that's correct. She's with the Spirit. She was injured about halfway through the season, yeah.
Right, okay, cool. And then Sophie Schmidt, who's also currently with the Dash. I think those are the 3 players that, whether it be Angel City or San Diego, will be on the move to California after the expansion draft.
And for Sophie Schmidt, California is a lot more different than Canada in regard to the weather, but she knows that. She plays in Houston. I saw the Sophie Schmidt unprotected. I thought it was a good bet for any of those teams in regard to, you know, experience, national team experience, championship experience. The only reason I have passed on her was because I think her age is going to come into play there. I think she's kind of towards the end maybe of her career. And I think that's going to have some sort of play in San Diego and LA's expansion draft mindset. My 3 players, to change it up a bit, when we did our original list, yes, Trevor and I both had Megan Oyster on there. Now to add some variety, I threw in Veronica Latsko. I, you know, Pittsburgh native. Pittsburgh is the best city in the world. She is a wonderful goal scorer. She had a really good Challenge Cup. Performs admirably well whenever players like Rachel Daly are going off to international duty. I think she goes to San Diego. Maybe she's a starter. I think if she's at Angel City, she is maybe one of those backup players again. So I think San Diego might want to target her. Madison Hammond from OL Reign, a young defender, would be a great partnership for someone like Sarah Gordon. And then Marissa Vigiano from Orlando. I think she was used very well under Mark Skinner and used very unwell by Becky Burley. And I think she's a good, solid midfielder, and I could see her going to either of these teams. There hasn't been a lot of midfield trades or picks or signings or whatnot from either of these teams. So I think building the midfield is certainly going to be something on their radar.
And we both had midfielders because we both recognize that these teams, for as good as they are, they definitely need to address the middle of the middle of the park. And I don't know. I kind of disagree with you on Megan Oyster. I think I did have her going to Angel City, and I do think she's someone that could partner with Sarah Gordon well there at center back. I think that she's someone that I think about it, maybe she wouldn't start, but I think she's someone that would definitely get a whole lot of playing time next to Sarah Gordon. And I think she's someone that would definitely be on Angel City's radar. So I wouldn't be too surprised if I see them scoop her up.
Yeah, I mean, if she goes to any of these teams, if any of these teams put Megan Oyster on the bench, they need to be fined,
right,
by new commissioner Rachel Kerger. Just kidding, I'm not the commissioner. But, I mean, she is way too good to be passed up from either of these teams. I was shocked when Houston didn't protect her.
Well, as was I. That's why I say when I saw her on there, I was like, well, if Angel City really want to solidify that defense and really want to make it hard for other teams to break them down, she would be the perfect complement to someone like Sarah Gordon. I think they would be making a huge mistake if they left her on the board there for San Diego to get.
Only two players from the Houston Dash can go. So who will it be? Will it be Sophie Schmidt, Megan Oyster, or Veronica Latsko? We will find out tomorrow. Oh my gosh, the expansion draft at time of recording is tomorrow. Oh, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. But it's going to be fun.
The good news is we just got San Diego's crest. So they are at least coming together as an official soccer club now.
Trevor, I need them. I need them. I absolutely need them to do a pink kit. They need to do, there is pink in this crest. It's a good looking crest. It's kind of retro-y in a way. I'll throw it into the article for everyone to see on lastwordonsoccer.com. It's kind of retro-y. I totally dig it. It gives me major San Diego, the Hills vibes. But if they do not do what Inter Miami could never do and give us a pink crest, I will give them all of my money for that. I would pay so much money. I will stand them so hard. I said two things this week. If I get a pink crest for any team, whether it be MLS or NWSL, I will stand that team very hard. And there, I need to pull up her name for, this will probably be my last words. But there is a Russian collegiate player from, I want to say, Syracuse, who declared for the NWSL draft. And if anyone drafts the first Russian to ever play in the NWSL, I don't care if it's Portland, I will stand them to the extreme. Like that is my God-given promise. What are your thoughts on this brand spanking new San Diego crest?
I agree. It definitely gives like 90s beach vibes. It's for, I mean, I'm showing my age here a bit, but it reminds me of like definite Saved by the Bell vibes, where it's just like, I don't know, I guess it's exactly what they wanted. It's really wavy. It's really just, it's modern but retro in the best way. The pink really stands out, like that golden yellow for the sunset really stands out. It's a really, really solid crest. And you're right, if they don't give us a pink kit, if one of these Southern California teams don't give us a pink kit, there's going to be riots. between the hot pink that San Diego seems to be working with and the Sol Rosa from Angel City, there better be some colorful kits going into 2022. It needs to happen. There are too many teams with vibrant colors and incredible vibes to just be marching out plain black and solid colored and white.
Yes.
For another season. It needs to stop.
Yes. Louder, louder, louder for the people in the back, please. Oh my gosh. There are two teams now with pink. I hate pink. I hate the color pink, but if I see one more gosh darn, I can't swear on this show, gosh darn nabbit black or plain white kit, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. I hate pink, but dang it, I will wear a hot pink kit if it means differences and all kinds of stuff.
It's nice. It's a solid crest. I think a lot of people were wondering what San Diego were going to do, and I know a lot of people use the wave emoji and all of that thing, but they really came through with this one. This is probably my favorite new crest from an expansion team, just in sports in general, probably over the last 5-10 years, I would say. Just off the top of my head, I'm not, you know, I can't think of every single expansion team to hit the sports scene, but this is definitely a contender for best from an expansion team that I've seen.
I think it's up there with the Seattle Kraken, because I love the Seattle Kraken.
That is a good one.
That is so good. It's definitely up there. I love the colors. It's super duper retro. It's different. It's not like just a soccer ball and like the name right. of it. Like, it's different, and I love it, and it's great.
It feels like Southern California. It gives off that vibe. Definitely gives off that vibe.
Hey, you are certainly our expert in that conversation. I will trust your word on that. We're going to flip it. So we're going to go back and forth here. I'm looking at our notes. We're going to go back and forth here because, good Lord, I just want to get this over with because I'm so sick and tired of hearing about all the chaos with this. Stephen Goff and a couple others had reported that a group led by Los Angeles billionaire Todd Boehly, I think I said that right, has ended talks with NWSL's Washington Spirit about becoming primary owner. There is another name that has come into the fold to potentially, it's a group. There is a male and a female. I can't think of their names right now. I'm trying to look it up, but they are also kind of in the fold here as well. But you know who's been there all along? Why, Michelle Kahn. And she is now offering $35 million to buy this team. $35 million. Wow. I wish I owned a soccer team and could sell a team for that much money. Like, that's ridiculous money. And yet Steve Baldwin, once again, sadly, Trevor, we cannot curse on this show, but the gentleman, and I say gentleman with quotation marks, who refuses to sell the team to her is still just kind of like, hey, anybody else want to put their hat in the ring here? Please make sense of it all for me, Trevor.
I don't know if I can make sense of it all. As you said, I mean, this is an offer that is up, what, $5 million? Because the offer previously was for $30 million or for $20 million, right?
It was 25, I think.
Okay, so she upped it by $10 million more dollars. The thing about it to me is just, it shows not only the pettiness, but just the last grasp at power from him, to try to keep that power, to try to make people uncomfortable one last time as he's being drugged out of the league. I think they need to do something. I think he needs to be kicked out. I think they need to give it to Michelle Kahn. I think that, especially with the NWSL right now, really trying to sell this thing of, we're looking after the players now, we care about the players' opinions. You've seen this offseason, a majority of the moves that we've seen have come with the caveat from these clubs that this in part was the player's decision. And so if we really are taking the player's emotions into account, which we should be, then we need to listen to what the Washington Spirit said in their statement months ago. And Steve needs to be removed and the sale needs to be made to Michelle. And we need to stop messing around and stop this game of, well, maybe there's other offers, there's other people. This is now a $35 million offer. It's more than fair. This has gone on long enough, and it needs to stop, because if we go into the 2022 season with this still hanging over the league's head, there's going to be a problem. It's bad enough we still have this situation in Portland that everyone is dealing with and talking about that will definitely come up in the 2022 season. The last thing that the league needs and wants is for this Washington situation to continue to go on.
I think that was very well said, so thank you for that. It's the dark cloud that's hanging over the NWSL. And I mean, you have referenced the Portland situation, of course. And that is also still a dark cloud hanging over the NWSL as well. But I think this one has just made so much more noise in regard to, you know, the kind of hashing it out that has been played with these press releases and all that. Like, Merritt Paulson has gone into hiding. Gavin Wilkinson has gone into hiding. They're not, you know, talking. That's not saying that that doesn't need to be addressed. Of course, that needs to be addressed. But Washington's situation has definitely had a lot more noise around it. And the fact that we're still like this woman is basically throwing money at Steve Ballmer, saying
money, lots of money,
like $35 million worth of money. That is
more than he deserves.
Way more than he deserves. I can't believe, you know, I mean, granted, they just won a championship, but with all this crud going on, you would think the stock would fall a little bit, but you know.
And I wonder if that's something to do with it. If she's like, okay, even if you try to pull the, we just won a championship card, our value and our team is greater than it was, you know, 5-6 months ago. Now she's like, well, here's $35 million. Continue to show yourself, for lack of a better term, continue to show yourself for who you are, and turn that down. Because it's obvious that he's going to try to, and he's going to try to do everything he can to avoid her. And I think it was Steve, or it was someone in the world, in the Wolso media, that brought up the point of, if these owners really do agree with what Michelle and what she's trying to do, like, why isn't anyone else speaking up about this situation? Why isn't anyone else saying, you know what, we need to get this out of our league and we need to move forward with a true clean slate going into next year? It's just really curious, the silence that's gone on around the whole situation.
Yeah, and I think in regard to the players, one of the things, I don't remember who tweeted it, but somebody had tweeted like, oh, you know, if this stuff keeps going on in Washington, like, are the players going to threaten to leave, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Steve Ballmer cares, because he's just, it's not, like, in lack of better phrase, it's not going to be his problem anymore. As long, like, for him, I think his mindset, to play the devil's advocate for a second, is just, I need to sell the team because I promised to sell the team. It doesn't matter who I sell it to. While on the outside, it's like, well, you've got this very qualified, very capable, just very present person who was with the team in Louisville for the championship. She was with the team during the playoffs and, you know, during regular season games, who has been a constant presence with the Washington Spirit, but yet is being ignored because the guy who owns the team doesn't like her. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
And he's already part owner. So it's not like,
Weird,
I mean, it's not weird. It's such an obvious situation of a person who just wants to hold on to the little power that they have left and wants to go out on their terms, I guess. It's just, it's such a terrible situation that Washington is going through. But I think you're right. I think in a sick way, I think he would love nothing more than for the team to kind of collapse on his way out. Because as you said, it's not his problem anymore. He sees it as passing this on to someone else, and he's already got his championship. What does he care? Unfortunately, he's got his championship.
Yeah, exactly.
And I say that against him. I don't mean that for the players. I'm very happy for a lot of the players on that team, but just in terms of the success it brought him is very unfortunate.
Yeah, it's, oh my gosh, it's, you know, so happy for the players. And then you look at it, the business side of it, and you're like, eesh. Exactly. Wow, that just got really sad all of a sudden. We're going to move on to something happier. And I mean, I don't know if this is happier, but hey, it's baby Charlie is super duper cute. Alex Morgan is going to San Diego. The fun thing about this is San Diego announced it. Why did they announce it? Who knows? Maybe they wanted to beat somebody who got a scoop. Maybe they, which didn't even really happen because I think Annie Peterson from the Associated Press put out her feature with Alex Morgan talking about going to San Diego before the announcement came. Anyway, Orlando has yet to announce the move because it happened during the when the trade window was closed. The window closed, back on December. Anyway, it was closed about a good 4 or 5 days before this move was announced, and it will reopen after the NWSL draft on Saturday. And so a fine should be incoming for San Diego. Orlando had put out a press release saying like, hey, they basically said, we're following the league rules. We don't want to get fined. We don't want to get yelled at by the league. So we're not going to announce anything. Cause I remember looking at the San Diego graphic and being like, okay, so what does Orlando get out of this? So we're just kind of waiting on that. But San Diego announces Alex Morgan's coming home to her home state of California. Her husband used to play for San Diego, I believe, or he played for some USL club down there. But she's coming back home. What do you think of this for San Diego?
Well, it's like you said, they've not only have they announced the move, but Alex Morgan was home today. She was there for the crest unveiling. So she's this is a move that's obviously been in the works for some time. Listen, for San Diego, this is a huge get in terms of matching that star power from the team up north. This is a national team player that comes with a lot of stature. She can score a lot of goals. She's proven that on the pitch. She's someone that, even though she's gone through, I would say, not a rough stretch, but just kind of a bit of a quiet period the last couple of years, she's still someone that is very talented. And with new motivation, being at home, building a club up from scratch, being the face of a franchise now, I think that this is something that could spark a kind of like a resurgence with Alex Morgan. And I think that this is a great move for San Diego in terms of trying to get that excitement going, get fans excited for the team that they're building, and really try to work on their own identity. I think up until the Morgan signing, it's been kind of unclear the direction that they were going with the players that they were bringing in. While talented, there wasn't really like a unified thought to what they were doing. But now I think this is the beginning of them really focusing on, okay, we have Alex Morgan, we can build around her, we can get her help in determining how best we can proceed to succeed in this league. And you get someone that knows the league and is great at the sport and is an international star. So it's really hard to call it a miss. It's a great move.
I don't know if this is a hot take because I think the stats kind of speak for it. Alex Morgan's a wonderful U.S. national team player. She is a terrible club player. I understand she's had some injuries. I get that. But she has never really kind of gotten it to click in Orlando. And one of my biggest gripes with Orlando was, how do you have all of this star power? Marta, Sydney LaRue, Alex Morgan, Allie Riley, Allie Krieger, Ashlyn Harris, the whole nine yards. And you struggle so much. And I think, could there have been a lot of individualism? Maybe, who knows? They all seem very tight off of the pitch. But when you get all those stars together on the pitch, it's like, who are you going to pass the ball to? But I really think she needs a good club year. She's going to get called into the national team because she's Alex Morgan. That's just kind of how the things work. But I think she needs a good, a good club year with all of these new young players coming up who are getting these looks under Vlatko, who Vlatko has said, like, listen, I'm in charge for the Olympics. I need to get some sort of medal in the Olympics, right? But then when it comes to the World Cup, there needs to be some changes. Like, there needs to be a new changing of the guard type of thing. Just how there was a similar one in 2019. So with that said, I think Alex Morgan's a great option because she's a great goal scorer. She's going to easily be a very good face for the franchise. They're going to market the crap out of her, just like Angel City is going to market. Angel City is going to market the crap out of Press, and San Diego is going to market the crap out of Morgan. It's going to be like a marketing wars. But I really, really think she needs to have a good club season. And I hope for her sake that she does. I'm super happy for her family. That's great to be closer to home, especially with a kid so young who's growing up and starting to remember things and, you know, taking experiences. That's awesome. It's great for her. So, yeah, that was a good note to end on. I like the, I mean, before we move on to the next one, I'm happy now. Like, we were so, it was so depressing the last time.
Alex Morgan in a bright pink kit. I think that's what a lot of people would want going into 2022.
Make it happen. Let's go. Come on, San Diego. You don't even need to give me a cut. Just send me a free kit and I will gladly let y'all take the credit. That's fine. That's fine. We've got some couple quick hits here. There's been a lot of, oh my gosh, there were so many coaching changes in the 2020 season. Lots of firings for misconduct and stuff, quote, for cause, whatever that means. But anyway, there's been a lot of, but there also has been coaches who, you know, Mark Parsons going to the Netherlands. That's great for him. Congratulations to him. Et cetera. Becky Burley finally was like, I'm actually going to enjoy retirement. Instead of staying with Orlando. So we've got, I think her name is pronounced Ryan Wilkinson. She is a former Canadian international. She is now the head coach of Portland. She spent some time as an assistant with England. Amanda Cromwell from UCLA is in Orlando. Okay. We're going to call him Kim. We're going to call him Kim, but Kim Bjorkengren, I hope I said that right, is now the head coach in Louisville. Also, Sean Nahas had the interim tag taken off of his title in North Carolina. James Clarkson, still the head coach at Houston. Freya Coombe is the head coach for Angel City. And why am I blanking on the head coach for San Diego?
Casey Stoney.
Jeez, Louise, Rachel. Casey Stoney is the head coach for San Diego. Sheesh, that didn't happen. Teams without a head coach. Oh, and apologies. Also, Scott Parkinson with Gotham took the job kind of, I think, in September, maybe October, from the Chicago Red Stars. Teams without a head coach. Washington, Chris Ward still has that interim tag. Although there have been meetings, Kansas City, per a report from my colleague Jeff Kasuf over at Equalizer Soccer, Hugh Williams is stepping down and featuring in more of a front office general manager type of role, which is what he did with FC Kansas City. So Kansas City is looking for a coach, and the Chicago Red Stars, after the stepping down, should have been firing of Rory Dames. So three teams right now without the head coach. I would probably call it 2.5, because if Washington doesn't take the interim tag off of Chris Ward, what are you doing?
Right.
But any thoughts on some of these hires or just anything to take away from these?
Well, as you said, the reason we have so many openings this offseason is because of the horrible revelations that we learned about throughout the year, really, that went on in NWSL. So the theme of the offseason in terms of new coaching hires for me was just as long as the players are happy. From a lot of the hires, it seemed like these clubs were giving players at least some input into who they brought in, or at least some input into who of the finalists that the clubs had that were ones that they wanted. And so the inclusion of the players is something that I really appreciate and I want to see more of going forward. In terms of the expansion teams, getting Freya Coombe from Gotham was a really solid move. I think everyone at the time was pretty surprised by that. And then, of course, with San Diego getting Casey Stoney, I mean, that's someone with experience in Europe, having coached at Manchester United, if I'm not mistaken there. And so she has that FA, WSL experience, knows players, not just what it takes to get them to win, but just she has that experience at an international level that can't be, I don't think, undervalued, especially when so many players these days, whether it be out of college or from the NWSL, are starting to make moves overseas. So I think for two expansion teams to get hires like that is really good for their futures. And so, yeah, I think for me, just the biggest takeaway is just as long as players are happy, then I'm happy. Because from what we learned this season, I think you have to take these hires with a grain of salt. You'd be happy for it and just hope for the best.
I think that's well said, and I press the retweet button on that and the I agree button. I'm going to torture myself here, Treb. Kim Bjorkengren. God, I hope I said that right. That is definitely...
He pronounced it the other day.
He pronounced it?
Yeah, he did. He pronounced it. There's a video of it, I think, on Louisville's Twitter.
Oh, trust me. I listened to it, and I was like, whoo boy, okay. I'm so excited about his hire, and I look at it, granted, two very different leagues, leagues being plural, more than just two. It's very different from the men's game, but in MLS, the epitome for coaching is to go from MLS to Europe. It's what Jesse Marsh did. It's what Jim Curtin has said that he wants to do, et cetera, et cetera. That's like pinnacle right there. And it's flip-flopped in the women's game, although the European League is certainly growing in England and Spain,
right,
in all different kinds of places.
NWSL is still the premier
destination. It's still the top of the cake, or the top of the Christmas tree. How about that one?
Yeah.
And to see a coach that has had success in Champions League and from a country like Cyprus that doesn't get the most attention, I think Apollon Ladies is probably one of the more well-known clubs in Europe, but then people, you know, you think Cyprus, meh, it's Cyprus. But to get a coach from Europe to come to the NWSL, that's huge for him. And, you know, to your point of hopefully the players are happy. Louisville, they said that, you know, there was a long list of candidates. They narrowed it down. And when they got to the final two candidates, that's when they brought the players in for the final interview. So I think James O'Connor said, like, listen, we don't want to waste the players' time. So he gave the players, you know, a lot of control when it came to those final two candidates. They did not name who the other candidate was, but they had an interview with both of them. And obviously they certainly helped to make the pick for Racing Louisville. And I'm really excited to see what he does, excited to see how he drafts. You know, I was on the press conference with him when he was introduced by Racing Louisville, and he said, I've already been looking at the college players. I've been looking at, you know, who we're going to protect for the expansion draft, you know, and all this stuff. And this guy seems to really be into it. He does his homework, it seems like, and he is a proven winner. So I'm excited to see him. I think it's going to be, I don't think there should be a lot of pressure though on him, because Racing was in their first year last year, and this year might kind of seem like another first year, because you're going with your third coach in the last like 12 months. So it'll be interesting to see what he does, how the players, you know, feel about him whenever the season comes around and whatnot. I'm excited to see him in Louisville. So there's been, yeah, a lot of coaching changes. We will see a lot of these new coaches virtually, of course. Sorry, Trevor, I know the drafts were supposed to be out in LA.
Party out here. It was supposed to be a lot of fun, but I understand safety takes precedent overall. Hopefully everyone out there is staying safe themselves. So if we've got to do it virtually, that's the way we've got to do it.
It's just the way that the wheel is spinning right now. So the drafts are going to be virtual. There's going to be plenty of places and outlets to watch it on, folks. NWSL expansion draft is this Thursday, December 16th. When you're listening to this, it's probably going to be today. It is at 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Trevor's time on the Pacific time. It's going to be on CBS Sports HQ, Paramount Plus, and then for any international viewers, it's going to be on Twitch. The NWSL draft, it used to be called the NWSL College Draft. Now they're just calling it the NWSL Draft, is Saturday, December 18th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. PT. And again, CBS Sports HQ, Paramount Plus, Twitch. And in between those two is on Friday, Trevor and I are both big fans of Liga MX Femenil, and we're both very excited. Although I wanted to see America versus Atlas, we are getting the Liga MX Femenil Apertura title matches, Tigres versus Monterrey. Friday's game is going to be on Fox Deportes at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Monday's game is still TBD, although I think the time is 9 Eastern, so 6 Pacific. I know we're both very excited about that.
It's still be an entertaining match. I think there will be a couple golazos in that one. And yeah, everyone should definitely tune in. That's such a great league. It's a growing league. And as we talked about NWSL being the top of the Christmas tree right now, I think that Liga MX Femenil is on the rise. If I was in the market, I'd be buying stock in them right now, because that's a league with a lot of young talent, a lot of star talent, and I wouldn't be shocked to see some of those players start making their way to our league pretty soon. So it's definitely something to tune into.
Who wins?
I got Tigres winning.
Oh, it's so hard to bet against them.
It is, and that's why I've got them winning, because it's so hard to bet against them. I, too, would have liked to have seen America, but, you know, Tigres is just so strong this season. They've been strong all year. They're only getting better, it feels like, and I don't see Monterrey stopping them at all.
I am inclined to root for Monterrey because they have a Costa Rican international, and I love my Costa Rican internationals. So, you know, I'm the queen of upsets. You should see my March Madness brackets every year. I always go with the upsets. Sometimes they bite me in the butt. Sometimes they get me some bragging rights. But you know what? I'll go with Monterrey. I would not be shocked if I was proven wrong. But I hope I'm proven correct. So, hitting the retweet again on everything Trevor just said. It's a great league. I can't wait to watch it. And to kind of end here, Trevor, do you have any last words? And then tell people where to find you on Twitter.
I would just say, make sure to tune in to everything that's going on this week. The NWSL drafts, the expansion, and the now regular draft. Liga MX Femenil, tune into that. I would say keep an eye on the LA teams. This is going to be a fun 2022 season. I know Washington are a very strong team. They're going to be returning champions, but the teams that are getting built out west are teams that are going to be competing for the championship match day one. So make sure you keep an eye on them. When the 2022 season starts, make sure you keep an eye on that season, because it's going to be just as wild, hopefully in a lot better ways and not as off the field drama, but it's going to be just as wild as 2021 was. And in terms of where you can find me, I am on Twitter at Treb Tracy. That's at TrebTracy. And yeah, I like talking soccer over there, both MLS, NWSL, Liga MX, all of it, everything, Premier League, FAWSL. Arsenal are in the Champions League match right now. Hopefully they're winning. Hopefully I'm gonna step away to some great news. But yeah, just support women's sports. That's the best thing you can do.
You might not be stepping away to good news.
Oh, is it not good news?
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spoil.
Oh, no, it's okay. I would love to hear the score.
Or maybe
I
wouldn't. The last time I heard, so let me actually look right now. But the last time I heard, Arsenal was losing to Tottenham 3-1. So let's see.
We're playing Hoffenheim right now. We're in the Champions League.
Yes. Hoffenheim won 4-1.
Oh, that is not great news. It's definitely been a rough week as an Arsenal fan. And so now you know the pain that I endure for the sport that I love.
My sympathies, my friend. I'm hoping so sorry to be the bearer of that news.
Angel City can help me feel better. And hopefully San Diego can give me a pink kit. Someone give me a pink kit and help me feel better about the decisions I've made in my fandom, please. And thank you.
He was polite. He said, please and thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Rachel Krieger. My name has two A's, not just one. I was actually, funny story before I get to my last words. I take some of my students to the games, and one of my seventh graders for basketball said, I think I know how to spell your name. And she was so confident. And then she said, R-A-C-H-I-E-L. And I said, Ember, that's the worst one I've ever heard in my life. I don't know where you got the I from, but we're just going to ignore that. So my name is not spelled like that. It is A-E-L. But so my NWSL rant of the week has both good news and just kind of me being the person that I am ranting. OL Reign is playing their games at Lumen Field, which is yay, hip, hip, hooray, goodbye Cheney Stadium. Yep. But now here's where the rant comes in. NWSL fans, y'all need to just take good news and move on. Like, I've seen people being like, oh God, it's a turf field. Like, y'all have been complaining and complaining and complaining about Cheney Stadium. And why did the Sounders get to play in Lumen and not OL Reign? Well, guess what? Now OL Reign's playing there. So just take the good news. Just take the good news. Quit looking at the past. I saw a lot of that with Kansas City, because that's how you get stuck. That's how you don't move on. When Kansas City had announced that they were a team back, like only a couple weeks before the season started, everyone was like, great, they're going to play at, you know, CMP. And CMP was like, well, you know, we can't really do that. And I get it, because the timing was so close. I understand that puts a lot of pressure on CMP. It puts a lot of pressure on Sporting. So then, of course, Sporting was the bad guys. And it was, why don't you love, like, respect women and stuff? And that's not the case. It was, you know, this team got thrown together kind of at the last minute. They worked with what they got. Now they're playing at CMP and sharing that with Sporting. So instead of just looking at the past, let's just move on.
And they have their own training facility too now.
Yes, they have a amazing training facility that I think is going to open in 2023. And it's strictly theirs, which is awesome.
Yeah. I'm not saying doing everything right away, but sometimes it's best to just take a breath, take a moment, plan out what you want to do and execute that plan. I think Kansas City are in a good spot.
Yeah, I think Kansas City did a great job. You know, the announcement for the I don't think it was ever unrealistic, and they have some great owners that are doing some amazing things down there. A shout out, not just to Brittany Matthews, but also to the Longs, really, really pulling in a lot of the work there, along with Brittany Matthews as well. And some others, but I just, NWSL fans, it's going to be fine. We've got, Kansas City playing at CMP. We've got OL Reign playing at Lumen Field, some really, really great, stadiums with some great atmospheres. I'm excited about it. But that's our show for y'all. Thank you to Trevor for joining us. This was something we just kind of threw together a couple weeks ago. You know, I said to Matt, listen, there's so much happening in the NWSL that deserves its own show. But of course, we could not do it without our sponsors. So thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at Roughneck Scarves today, or roughneckscarves.com today. My bad there, folks. Matt had mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think they still have them with, you know, more variants and stuff coming around. There's Roughneck Scarves has some customizable neck gaiters, so go ahead and check those out as well. And then I'm gonna see if I can get him here. Trevor, are you tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas? Are you looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team? Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price with the motto, any design you want. Seriously, let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. Folks, don't forget to follow us, Last Word SC on Twitter, Last Word on Sports as well on Twitter. Our articles are going to be on Last Word on Soccer, LastWordOnSports.com/soccer. So go ahead and check that out. And until next time, we will see you.
Bye-bye.